Jessica to come up and speak for the first 15 minutes.
Hello, friends. My name is Jessica. I'm an alcoholic. I'm going to say the thing that everybody says. I'm nervous. There's a shock. But I'm also very humbled and grateful to be standing at this podium and to tell my story. So I'll start with my sobriety date. It is July 28th, 2016. I have a home group, I have a sponsor, and I am currently working the steps. So what happened, or what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now, in that somewhat order. Prior to returning to AA, I had about, 4 years and some change. It doesn't matter. I had some sobriety. And I want to start with that, because towards right before I went out and decided to experiment for a year, there was a chain of events that got me to that point. I've heard it in meetings. You don't just get struck by lightning and wow, guess what? You're drunk. So for me, kind of leading up to that was, you know, a combination. Well, it was entirely ego. This program blessed me with so many things that I had never attempted before in my life, such as school, a relationship, positions in leadership, positions in the community. And suddenly, with all these blessings from AA, I became too busy to actually do AA. Went to less and less meetings. When I was in a meeting, I was just thinking about myself and all the different things I had to perform that day. I was very disconnected. Didn't work steps, barely ever prayed, and so guess what? I went out and got drunk. So that's what happened when you don't work the program. It's very real, and it is very scary. For me, it was a year that I was out, and it happened. You start drinking, and for me, it was like instantaneous. Like, my alcoholism, you know, I think maybe I drank once, and I was able to somewhat control myself. But after that, it was just like nothing even happened. I was not even sober, like, for a day in my life. You know, like, the alcoholism just picked right back up. So, back in July, I was extremely hungover and shaking and just trying to think about, you know, all the ways I have lost complete control. And then it occurred to me that all these blessings in my life were very close to being taken from me, like me just blowing everything. And it scared me enough to pick up the phone, like that night, call my sponsor. Call my sponsor and call another lady that I used to be roommates with in the program. They showed up for me like with a drop of a hat. They picked me up and brought me to a meeting that night. And I'm just, honestly, I'm a little emotional about it, but it was just amazing how quickly they moved for me. My sponsor didn't even know I had been out drinking. You know, we had a relationship where we didn't talk very often, like for months, and then we'd maybe see each other here and there. So for a year, like, she had absolutely no clue that I was out, just that she hadn't heard from me. So since then, I've regained that relationship with my sponsor. She has agreed to give me her time again, which I'm completely grateful for, to take me through the steps again. She does not need to do that, you know. I was a liar, I deceived her, and for her to give me her time to help me get back on my feet is truly a blessing. In a very short period of time, my life has done a complete 180. And I know I'm not talking about all the drinking, gory details, but it's more important for me to talk about all the blessings in my life now, because it's just an absolute miracle how quickly this has happened for me. I have friends now. Like, this whole front row of ladies are just amazing, amazing people. And my sponsor's been showing up for me. I feel like I've been working the steps to the depth of my heart and soul. I'm reestablishing my relationship with my higher power. Like, I'm really just going at this thing in a way to completely opposite to what I did before. Whatever I thought I knew, obviously I didn't. So I'm going to pretend like I'm brand new, because I am. And anytime somebody asks me to do something, I'm going to do it. And I'm just really trying to make myself as uncomfortable as I can, because that's how people will change, you know, it's through their pain. It's through, thank you. pain happens through growth. And I'm just very happy. Like, so I guess I can share some of the drunken stories since I have 10 minutes. And I'm already sober in my story right now, so rewind. You know, I glamorized it for the whole time I was sober. It was like this forbidden thing. And for me, because I wasn't working the program, and I worked in a restaurant, and I go to USF. You know, a lot of kids can partake and party and have a good time. And I would just glamorize it in my head. And I completely blacked out sober about what it used to be like. So this is also why I'm very grateful to be up here right now, because I believe any opportunity I have to tell my story is going to be a reminder of that pain and that powerlessness and that unmanageability. And I think, you know, the speaking thing, as much as it's terrifying, it needs to be done in my program. But yeah, I mean, I have two DUIs that happened before I attempted to get sober the first time around. And I'll be damned, for a year I would drive around drunk, blacked out, like park my car, have absolutely no fucking clue where I parked it. And that's really freaking scary. Like, I'm Canadian. Have a green card, and you know, as a foreigner, three strikes and you're out of the country. Like, they could have deported me if I got another DUI. So that, and then, I mean, of course I could have killed somebody, so that was really, I mean, my higher power definitely looked out for me for that. I made it through a year of school. I have absolutely no idea how. It was probably one of the hardest years and the loneliest years I've ever had. Got through it, but I was dangerously close to like throwing everything that I've been working my ass off for. So that was kind of a slap in the face as well. I guess I don't have any like real consequences to that year, but I had no idea how lonely I actually was until I got sober. Like, I had no idea how lonely, how pathetic, how depressed I actually was, because I was like drunk like pretty much 24/7 until I got sober. And then I'm like, wow, my life is just so much more full. Like, I had no idea what I was missing. So yeah, I'm grateful, and I'm going to continue to work these steps. I really got into meditation, and that has just helped me profoundly, because when you're newly sober, guess what? You're angry. You're so angry. And so it's like calming me down a little bit. It's helping me at least like establish sentences here and there, so that's good. meditation, yeah, I highly approve of that message. But also, it was kind of cool. For about a month of my 2 months that I have under my belt, I was on this pink cloud, which didn't happen for me the first time around. Oh, freaking amazing. It was the most amazing thing ever. It's not permanent, though, and that's the kicker. It's like, it's so great, you're manic all the freaking time. You're like, I love everybody. Oh, look at the pink clouds. Like, it's so great. And then all of a sudden, you get slapped back into reality, which, you know, it's necessary after a while. But that sucks. It really does suck. But I'm trying to naturally reestablish that pink cloud in my life. I've found, you know, for me, like, church is something very spiritual for me, and I won't, like, get all preachy, but after 10 years of living in Tampa, I've actually found a church that I'm absolutely in love with now during this time period, so I'm extremely happy about that. And just, like, relationships with my family, I was kind of an asshole in that year. I mean, yeah, duh. So I'm starting to, like, reestablish those relationships with my younger sisters. And that feels really, really good to sit there and, because of this program, teaching us to care about others more so than ourselves and to check our selfishness. Like, I'm actually able to get on the phone with them and talk about them and really just like mindfully listen to what they're saying. So I feel like, you know, I'm definitely present in their life now today. So I'm very happy about that. And as far as like phenomenon of craving, 5 minutes, thank you. This is the longest 15 minutes of my life. It's okay though. Here's some good juicy stuff. I got fired from my internship 2 weeks ago. And then a week later, my landlord told me they were increasing my rent. And then same day, my roommate's like, oh, by the way, I'm moving out in a month. So fired, and then more rent and living expenses. I'm like, this is awesome. But as far as phenomena craving, like when I got fired, I wanted to drink, you know. It was very scary. It was just like an instinct, and that's all it was. It was just like my instinct, this craving. But as soon as like I put like rational thought behind that idea, then I was okay. I ended up going to the noon YANA meeting like right after that. I'm like, all right, let me get into a safe place. But having like your toolbox of things to do when shit goes down is just so essential, because I had that craving and then instinctively I'm like, go to a meeting, reach out to people, call your sponsor, just these little tiny suggestions that are so simplistic, but I mean, I've definitely experienced how they can save your ass, you know, especially when you're not thinking clearly from being upset or whatever went down. So having those opportunities to like get through situations like that newly sober and stay sober, that's a miracle in itself, in my opinion. So I am on step 7, in case you guys want to know. I'm trying to diligently work through the steps, because last time around, I kind of snubbed my nose to sponsorship. You know, my ego was just so huge and so ridiculous. I'm like, no, my life is not where I want it to be, so therefore, I have absolutely no time to be bothered with helping a newcomer, which is really fucked up. But this time around, I'm looking forward to sponsorship. You know, you hear it in the rooms how valuable and how precious it is. And I'm surprised with myself that I would snub something like that, but whatever, it was what it was. And now today I'm trying to really just like get through the steps as fast as possible so I can actually experience that. And to take somebody through a 4-step, you know, or the 5th step, I mean, like, that's going to be something so powerful. And that's when it really just comes down to your experiences, all that pain and suffering, and all the shit you're embarrassed about and never want to tell somebody else. Like, that's going to be valuable to somebody else. And then, you know, if you frame it that way, like, that's powerful, because, you know, every instinct inside me just wants to run away from that humiliation, shame, and guilt, that ugly side of me. And the fact that, you know, my higher power can turn that into something beautiful and helpful, you know, even if it's in the smallest way, like that's just a very, very powerful thing. I don't really know if I have anything else to say. I'm like oozing with positivity. You'll have to excuse me. I'm not normally like this. It's very up and down. I just happen to have like a 4-hour pool day today, so I'm feeling kind of good. You know, being laid off, you suddenly have a lot more time on your hands. So I'm very zen today. But I am grateful that I was able to come up here and speak a little bit and at least let people know where I'm at. If I'm being antisocial, please come say hi to me. Like, don't let me isolate. That gets you in trouble, man. And I'm very thankful for the AA in Tampa. I'm very thankful for these meetings and the different types of meetings that I have the opportunity to go to. And, you know, guys, thank you very, very, very much for my sobriety today. That's all.